The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a really great show for you. We're starting off with a bang. We are ensconced in the new year. The holidays are over. We're back into swing. As the expression goes, Yaakov Holoch Ladarko, Jacob went on the way. We are into the world. In this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring an interview with the Detroit's own Ellen Yashinsky Shute from the Jewish Family Services. She's involved with an organization, as am I, called the Jewish Coalition Against Domestic Abuse, JCADA. It's been around since maybe 10 years or so, and is going to be around for, unfortunately, quite a while, as domestic abuse is still something. October is Domestic Abuse Awareness Month. And there is, we'll do a PSA, they're doing a program coming up. The portion of the week is the portion of Noah. This is standard good Bible story. We're into back into that stuff, the story of the flood. It's in chapter 6 of the book of Genesis. We have a wonderful, of course, assortment of music, a dynamite Hasidic story way at the end of the show. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israel began transporting construction materials into Gaza as a humanitarian gesture to the Hamas-controlled territory. The aid includes 600 tons of cement, 50 truckloads of aggregate, and 10 truckloads of steel, so that way they can build better tunnels. 40 Palestinians threw rocks and firebombs at security forces at Rachel's Tomb in Bethlehem. A border police officer was slightly injured by a bomb thrown at a checkpoint. Three Israelis, along with 10 other tourists, were killed in an avalanche along the Tharang La Pass, encircling Mount Annapurna, the world's 10th highest mountain in Nepal. At least 10 other Israelis are stranded in the pass, with about 100 other tourists. A group of 75 black teenagers trashed a kosher grocery store in Brooklyn's Crown Heights section and assaulted one of the store employees. Locals are calling this tactic the new form of the knockout game, where teens would randomly punch passersby in the street. This way they get 75 teenagers and go in and trash a Jewish store. Okay. And what may be one of the biggest surprises of 2014, none of the Nobel Prize winners this year were Jewish. This is very surprising. 13 of 15 winners in 2013 were Jewish. This is the first year, 19 years I'm reporting this information. This is the first time that Jews got shut out. What is the world coming to? Anyway. And finally, stem cell treatment developed by Israeli company Brainstorm Cell Therapeutics has been given fast-track treatment for ALS by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The treatment, called Nurone, is currently undergoing mid-stage clinical trials in Jerusalem and in the U.S. on patients with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. That's those ice bucket guys. So hopefully something come of it, and we'll get some good stuff, and we'll eradicate another really heinous disease. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts, located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We're on live with Ellen Yashinsky-Shute of the Jewish Family Service. How are you today, Ellen?
I'm just good. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank God. Thank you for allotting us some of your time in your very busy schedule.
My pleasure. Thank you.
The subject of domestic abuse has come up to the foreground, and it's becoming a topic in the Jewish community. I'm reminded, I think maybe my third or fourth show some 15 years ago was on the discussion of domestic abuse in the Jewish community. And I think at that time there was Safe Home was just opening up, or there was discussion
Safe Place, right.
was opening up then, and I couldn't find out where it was because there wouldn't be a Safe Home then. And
exactly. I still can't tell you where it is.
So what's happening? What is this sudden awareness or continuing awareness with domestic abuse in the Jewish community?
Yes, I would really say that it is continuing awareness, and awareness reaches very different levels as it continues. When I began at this agency in 1993, domestic abuse had reached the forefront at that time here. In the late 1980s, we began to discover the issue of abuse happening in families with whom we were working. And up until that time, I think that we thought that was something that didn't happen in Jewish families. But once we became aware of it and we understood the dynamics of it, we saw really just how prevalent it was on our caseloads. And at that time, Jewish Family Service actually applied for a grant from the Skillman Foundation and began what was then called the Skillman Program, which was a program with specially trained professionals who worked with families where there were issues of abuse. The Skillman Program ultimately became the Windows Program, which is an endowed program. And along with that program came a collaborative effort with National Council of Jewish Women, who actually own the Safe Place shelter. Safe Place is a one-family apartment shelter that has been open since 1993. It is a place that a woman or a man needing to escape a dangerous, violent situation can go for 90 days free of charge with their children and figure out what's going to be next in their lives. So we're working on our 15th year, and unfortunately we have people in there on a regular basis. We have had one man in there, but all the rest of the people have been women and children. So what's happened now is that over the years, the issue sort of wanes and waxes in community interest, and we decided that we needed to keep it in the forefront because it is still happening in significant proportions in our community, in all sectors of our community. We believe it occurs equally in all sectors. And what we're trying to do now is to create actually a professional coalition around this issue from all of the Jewish agencies in the community.
Mm-hmm. Do people still... Are they still surprised when you talk about domestic abuse? I mean, 15 years ago, when people were shocked to discover that the occurrence of domestic abuse among Jews was exactly the same as the general population,
right.
Are you still getting that reaction?
I think people are less surprised because I think that one of the things that has happened is that many more women are willing to talk about it and be out about their stories. But I do think that people still see, you know, us Jews as different and that we don't do what other people do in that way. And while I would agree that oftentimes domestic abuse looks different in Jewish families, the dynamic is still exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Now, we used to call it domestic violence. Why are we now calling it domestic abuse?
We're calling it domestic abuse now because, especially in the Jewish community, physical violence is only one of many, many, many types of abuse. And I think that it's easy for people to think of an abused person as someone with a black eye. In our community, we really see that kind of abuse far less often than we see emotional abuse, psychological abuse, sexual abuse, or financial abuse. Abuse really is about coercive, controlling tactics that are used by one person against another on a daily basis that corrode the self-esteem of the victim in order to empower or make the abuser feel good about themselves. So I think that it's really a common misnomer to think that unless someone's getting hit, that they're not being abused. In my work here at the agency, some of the most serious cases that I have worked with, the most damaging, destructive cases that I have worked with, are cases where there has been no physical abuse at all, but just a constant, everyday atmosphere of coercion, of fear, of a man telling a woman on a daily basis, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're a bad parent, you're fat, you're ugly, or just questioning everything she does. Why did you do that? Why don't you do this way? What's wrong with you? Why did you make that for dinner? And that kind of atmosphere is so corrosive to any human being in terms of how they feel about themselves. That really is what's dangerous. So I like to get the emphasis off of the black and blue stuff. The other piece of that is that when someone hits you, you generally know that that's not good. But when someone just daily, on a daily basis, just eats away at your sense of self, you don't necessarily know that that's bad, and generally what you do in a situation like that is you blame yourself and you try to be better. So the reason why we call it abuse is to help people understand that it is a whole syndrome of hundreds of different types of activities that are used to control another person, physical violence being one of them. The other thing I'd like to say about that is that we know that the abusive tactics increase the more that the batterer feels a loss of control. So women are at the most danger once they've decided to leave the relationship, and if they leave and if they file for divorce or if they leave is when they're at the most danger. And in many cases, the first physical violence occurs after she files for divorce.
Mm-hmm. That's actually quite shocking to me, but
yes, right.
So the what is JFS, Jewish Family Service, able to do as far as intervention of this type of nature?
We do lots of things. We work a lot with women and kids, helping them to deal with the effects of the abuse. Most of the women that come to Jewish Family Service come for some reason other than abuse. They come because they're depressed, or they come because they're anxious, or they come and say, I have a terrible marriage and I'd like you to help me figure out what I could do so that my husband won't get so mad at me. And so we work with them to educate them about their relationship, about their role in the relationship, about what it means to live in a controlling relationship and how that affects everyone. And that's usually a very long-term therapeutic process. We work with children to help reduce the trauma that they may have experienced by their parents' behaviors. And we also work with men individually who are willing to admit and be accountable for their actions. So we run the whole gamut. I mean, aside from therapy things, we also offer pro bono legal services and all kinds of concrete services for families that are needing, many things, financial assistance, food coupons, gas coupons, anything that someone might need in order to, you know, help them to live a better life.
Mm-hmm. We seem to be now at sort of like the top of the bell curve as far as community and awareness and people wanting to get involved. Is anything specific that happened, or is sort of like a cyclical thing that goes around?
I don't think it's cyclical. To me, it's all about growth. And I think that over the years we've tried different things, and now we have come to understand that what needs to happen in our Jewish community is that we need to have a coordinated response to this issue. I found out a couple years ago that other Jewish agencies, even though they didn't have domestic abuse programs, were still serving families with this issue. They were being housed in Jewish apartments and services. It was being used as a safe house, and and virtually any Jewish organization that you talk to can tell you about their own personal experience with families with domestic abuse. So I believe that we've grown and developed to a point now where what we need is a coordinated response as a community so that every victim gets everything that she's entitled to. And the only way to have a coordinated response, we've learned from other communities, is to have it be a professional response. And so the beginning of our new coalition, which the first meeting was this past Tuesday, and has the name JACADA, Jewish Coalition Against Domestic Abuse. And at this meeting, there were representatives from every Jewish organization, in professional organization in our community. There certainly are many more organizations that we would like to include, congregations and other things that I'm sure other people could think of that I can't think of. But as a beginning, this professional coalition, it was really astounding of how many people showed their interest and that this is really an important issue for our community.
Mm-hmm. What are the goals of JACADA?
The goals are about raising awareness in the community, creating a coordinated response so that anyone could enter any door and still get the same response of help for them, as well as to conserve resources so that other people aren't reinventing the wheel. And I think most importantly is education and training for community professionals, so that they would be able to recognize signs and symptoms and that they would have a coordinated answer and response to give each person that might need it, regardless of where they would enter the system. You shouldn't have to come to Jewish Family Service to get the full array of domestic abuse services that are available to you.
Mm-hmm. Understood. This is just very beginnings. When do you think things will be like up and running, or there, as you might say?
Well, this coalition is grant-funded by the Jewish Women's Foundation, and we hope to, before June, have two initial trainings. And I'm actually sitting in front of my computer right now writing my grant for the next year. I would hope that by this time next year, we would be pretty solid. We would have had a few meetings. We would have determined our mission statement and our goals. And my hope is that, you know, by this time, 2009, or by June of 2009, that we should be pretty well on our way.
Mm-hmm. Is there a hotline, an abuse hotline for?
You know, not really. Anybody who's in an abusive relationship or has a question can call Jewish Family Service, 248-592-2300. There's someone answering the phone all day, and there's someone with a pager 24/7. And you can always, any member of our Jewish community can always reach someone that way, and I would encourage them to do it. I do think that a hotline might be something that comes out of this coalition, but, you know, that's what the coalition will have to decide, basically.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Good. Are you looking for new people to join this coalition?
Yes, we are always looking for new people. At this time, it is a professional coalition.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we've done in the past has been with non-professionals. Our goal and our hope for the sustenance of this coalition is that it be a part of someone's professional responsibility to serve as a liaison from this coalition to their own organization or agency. So if there are professionals in the community that are interested in this issue, we would absolutely love to have them on our coalition.
Okay, and again, how can they get in touch with the Jewish Family Service?
The main phone number here is 248-592-2300. They can call me. My direct dial phone number is 248-592-2666, or email me. And my email address is EYASHINSKY at JFSDetroit, all one word, .org.
Okay, great. So again, if anybody wants to, any professional person in a professional organization wants to get become part of the Jewish Coalition Against Domestic Abuse. The person to contact would be Ellen Yashinsky-Shute from the Jewish Family Service, 592-2666, or eyashinsky@jfsdetroit. I want to thank you very much, and hopefully this type of thing will just go out of business because people won't be doing it anymore.
That would be the goal. Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay, have a good Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos. You too.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Yes, as it was indicated, that this cause of domestic abuse is a personal interest of mine, and it should be something I'm working on it in this city for over 20 years, and something which I wish didn't have to. So, PSA, on Thursday, November 13th, at Beaumont Hospital, there'll be a presentation about domestic abuse. Join us for a panel discussion exploring and sharing ideas and methods for parenting and raising complex, happy, and productive boys into emotionally whole men. The panel includes Mike McCormick, author, advocate of a former Division I basketball player and author of Man Quest, Leading Teenage Boys into Manhood. Ann Doyle, author, journalist, a single mother, and author of Powering Up, How America's Women Achievers Become Leaders. Marlene Seltzer, who is a OB-GYN. And Victor Walker, who is an author of a poetic play, Birth of Mars, and first novel, No Tea, No Shade. And Yodit Mefsud Johnson, activist, entrepreneur, mentor, and mother of a five-year-old son. So for more information, what you want to do is RSVP 248-551-0750. That's 551-0750. Or call or email jillian.rink. That's Jillian's J-I-L-L-I-A-N dot R-I-N-K. At Beaumont.edu. Interesting that Beaumont has an EDU address. And that's, you know, boys will be boys, raising boys in healthy to healthy masculinity. And that's co-sponsored by the Jakeda. And for your listening pleasure, we have up next. Oh, wait, I have one more public service announcement. Oh, the DSO. DSO every once in a while sends me tickets and to encourage community involvement. The DSO, the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, is one of Detroit's jewels. It's rated like the third or fourth best orchestra in the country. It is absolutely amazing. You want to go to their website. They have all kinds of stuff going on down there. Not just stodgy. They don't play anything stodgy at all. Everything they play is like, wow. Okay, I've gone with people who say, I don't like classical music. And I say, well, just come and endure it. Okay, and they just like, they're like, eyes are opened. So, check out DSO.org. Go to a concert. You'll be glad that you did. It'll make you feel better. We have, coming up now, for your listening pleasure, this is God Elbaz. Yesh Es Shel Mashiach, the fire of the Messiah is on the way. Dimot HaMashiach uVinyan Bet HaMikdash ulChayei HaOlam HaBa.
חיינו ויזכם ויקרבנו בימות המשיח ובניין בית המקדש וחיי העולם הבא. אש, אש, אש של משיח לי אש, אש, אש של משיח לי אש, אש, אש של משיח בלב.
Things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. You only got a month left of Franklin Cider. That's it. It's only open until after Thanksgiving, and we're really getting close to that. Thanksgiving is closing in on us. Now that we got Rosh Hashanah out of the way, what are we thinking about next? I got through all of those food holidays. I'm already thinking, well, there's the turkey on Thanksgiving. No, but Franklin Cider, that's what it is. Everything else is just juice. Recently came out in the mail to me, courtesy of Corin Publishers, and you can see it on corinpublishers.com, is the most recent edition of the Steinsaltz Talmud in English. This is Yevamos, Volume 1. I'm going to assume that there's only going to be a volume 2 on it. It is quite long. Yevamos is the hardest section of the Talmud. This is it. It doesn't get any harder. What does it deal with? Basically, it deals with interpersonal relationships as to who can marry who and when does somebody allowed to marry somebody. You know, there are 28 different people that you're not allowed to be married to. Four of them are your aunt, for example, your mother's brother, your mother's sister, your mother's brother's wife, your father's sister, and your father's brother's wife. Those are all aunts, and you're allowed to marry them. It goes into this whole thing about this is ideal, what happens if somebody dies and there are no kids. It is very complicated, very complex. I happen to have enjoyed learning it when I learned it way back when. And looking through this, it's not on my immediate to learn thing, but I did unshrink wrap it and look through it. And I can see that the Koran Talmud does crackerjack job on it. You'll want to get it. Listen, they're already up to, I think this is volume 12, I think, volume 13. You'll want to get in on it. They have a thing where they mail it to you automatically as soon as they come out. And you'll have the Talmud at your fingertips. My wife, she should live long and be healthy. When the book about Chagiga, the holiday offerings, came out, I said, this is the one you have to learn. So she sits down. She never learned Talmud before in her life. I told her, learn chapter 2 of Chagiga. It deals with the first chapter of Ezekiel. which deals with Ezekiel's dream of seeing the chariot flying through the sky. It explains it there in great detail and is just absolutely, totally, completely flipped out. And she's learning it by herself. So I'm not saying she can do it, anybody can. My wife, Baruch Hashem, is a very smart woman. But I think that you could handle it. So go to Koren Publishing. You can handle it. I think it's available for sure on Amazon.com. Get it directly from the publisher. If you get it from the publisher, I think it's cheaper than Amazon. If you can get it on the Kindle edition, it's also way cool. Which you have the thing right on your tablet. If you get it on your tablet, they have all these links with all these little video things, which you can't get. You can't get a video inside a book. They haven't invented that one yet. But it is definitely something to look into and to buy. We have up next, this is the Maxwell Street Klezmer Band. This is called Hesa Bulger, which means a hot bulger dance.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Got another PSA. Wednesday evening, October the 29th, will be the Michigan premiere. The ZOA is sponsoring a screening of the up-and-coming. This is like one of those movies that you want to see. This is called Body and Soul, The State of the Jewish Nation. This is put on by the Zionist Organization of America. They have a pre-dinner. This is like a whole thing they got going on over here. So the movie is being shown at 7:30. And it's $12 at the JCC. It's at the Berman Center. But if you want to come earlier at 6:30, so then you can have a pre-discussion over dinner. And that's another $6. So for $6, you get dinner, which that's a real good deal. And you get $12, you get the movie, so it's $18 altogether. And then you can see the movie. And then after the movie, there's like this post-glow thing going on over there. And that's going to be a post-screening discussion with the producer, Gloria Greenfield, and the Reverend Dr. Dede Coleman. For more information, call the Jewish Center at 661-6000 and tell them you want to talk to somebody from the ZOA. It's in conjunction with a whole bunch of people. We're all in all together on this. Or the contact there is Kobi, K-O-B-I, at M-I for Michigan, Z-O-A, M-I-Z-O-A.com for more information. Your organization having a thing, something that you would like publicized here, we do that absolutely free. That's the nature of a public service announcement. So you'll want to do that by sending it to RabbiFinman.com, and we will put it on for you right here. Okay, one more tune. We got time. We have time for this is, well, we know it's a portion of Noah. And we know that God spoke to Noah and told him about building the ark. And we actually have a recording of that. This is the famous Noah from Bill Cosby.
I want to talk to you about a fellow by the name of Noah who built an ark. Now, everybody knows, you ask a question, say, what did Noah do? He said, well, he built an ark. But very few people know about the actual conversation that went on between the Lord and Noah. You see, Noah was a carpenter, and he was in his rec room sawing away, making a few things for the home there.
Hooba, 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 hooba.
Noah.
Hooba, 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 hooba.
Noah. Who is that?
It's the Lord, Noah.
Right. Where I? What do you want? I've been good.
I want you to build an ark.
Right. What's an ark?
Go out into the woods, collect all of the animals in the world by twos, and make the ark out of cubits, 80 cubits, 40 cubits, 30 cubits.
Right. What's a cubit?
Let's see, a cubit. I used to know what. Well, don't worry about that. Just go out and collect all those animals by twos, male and female, and put them into the ark.
Right. Who is this really? What's going on? How come you want me to do all these weird things?
I'm going to destroy the world.
Right. Am I on candid camera? How are you going to do it?
I'm going to make it rain for 1,000 days and drown them out.
Right. Listen, do this. You'll save water. Let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and wait for the sewers to back up.
Right.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Today is the portion of Noah. We've already begun the Bible. We finished Genesis yesterday. We finished Bereshit, which is the beginning of Genesis, the story of the creation, Adam and Eve in the garden, Cain and Abel, yada, yada. At the end of the portion, there is a list of 70 nations. These are the 70 grandchildren of Noah. They populated the world post-flood. Before Noah began having, like, grandchildren, he was commanded 7 commandments by God. And these commandments are referred to as the 7 Noahide laws, or the 7 commandments of man. And they are to believe in God, not to worship idols, not to commit adultery, theft, or murder, not to be cruel to animals, which is written there that you can't rip a limb off of a living animal and eat it, and to establish courts of law, legislative bodies, and police forces to administer the other 6. It is said, obviously, in this portion because this was said to Noah, and it is important to list Noah's grandchildren, because between you and me, I have of the 70 nations that are listed, if I could list 10, I would impress myself. These are just names we don't even know about anymore. I know there's Mizraim, which is Egypt, and Ashkenaz, which is Germany. And on the top of my head, I'm not even going any further past that. All of the people of the world, 7, and I think maybe now 500 million people that occupy this planet are the descendants of Noah, and therefore have the obligations of adhering to these commandments, believing in God. That kind of takes care of atheists. You know, you got to believe in God. Not worshiping idols. That kind of takes care of Hindus and Buddhists and Shintos and Zoroastrians and Wiccans and all those other people who put their heads in front of statues. Not to commit murder, adultery, or theft. Well, that's your society right there. Every society, if it is a society, even the most primitive, there's no murder, there's no theft. You don't mess around with somebody else's wife. Not to be cruel to animals. If you're not cruel to an animal, you're not going to be cruel to a human being, hopefully. Although in Nazi Germany, it was a serious offense to beat a horse, but it was a commandment, it was a mitzvah, and their guys, Rachman al-Islam, to kill a Jew. So it's no guarantee. And then to have police forces and things. Judaism, unlike any other religion, doesn't demand that people be Jewish. There are approximately 16 billion Jews in the world, and I guess that's enough. For the time being, even though we didn't win any Nobel Prizes this year. Any other person who adheres to these 7 commandments, we're talking not Jewish, even if they don't know they're doing it because these are the 7 commandments that are given to Noah, they're doing it because this is the thing you got to do. You got to believe in God, not worship idols, not commit murder, theft, adultery, not to be cruel to animals and to have these other governing bodies, is guaranteed a place in the world to come when Mashiach comes. Very unique to Judaism. In all other of the world's religions, you want to get there at the big show at the end of days, you got to be whatever religion is purporting that they're the ones in control over there. All of the world's great religions that are saying that, you know, we're in charge of the show. Well, in Judaism, you don't have to. You just have to be a good person. Which, what's the definition of a good person? You know, morally chaste. Don't be such a hothead. Be a nice guy. Take care of people. Be generous. Give charity. Don't steal things from other people's. Don't do it to anybody else, which you wouldn't want to have done to you. This sort of like fits in there. Do it because God told you so. And you'll be right. You'll be in the good. You'll be in the stadium when you know the game is played. The whole idea of the creation was in order to create a world which is, at first glance, void of godliness and introduce godliness into it. So if you have a person who's a nice guy, he was a Boy Scout, he learned how to cross little old ladies across the street, and he loves doing this kind of stuff, has to ratchet it up a notch and do it in order to make the world a better place. Because with every act of goodness that a person does, one of the interesting things in the English language, the relationship of the word God to good. There is a correlation. What's goodness? Goodness is godness. And to do these acts of goodness as an expression of bringing godliness into the world, every time a person does that, we are taking exponential strides to bringing the Messiah. And who is this? Whose job is this? Everybody's. You live here. You occupy space in this world. You're breathing. God has you here breathing for a reason. We got what to do. And since now it's the beginning of the Jewish New Year, and we look at it as the new year for everybody, people wish me happy Rosh Hashanah. So I say to them, to you too. And they look at me quizzically, but it's a Jewish New Year. I said, no, it's the new year of the world. It's when the world was created. It's your new year too. So the new year is upon us. And this is not the New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose 5 pounds. This is where we have to resolve that every opportunity that we can, we're going to do something good to make the world a better place. Speaking of which, we have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? RabbiFinman.com. RabbiFinman. You'll find there, right on the homepage, contact link. Hit that. Send me an email. I send you back an email. We have now established a relationship, and we'll live happily ever after. You'll also find archive editions of the show. We still have up there the archive, the edition with John Kirkpatrick, the nation's largest producer of etrogim. Oh, that's award-winning. You want to catch that one. He was such a great guy. Such a wonderful interview. Still up there. You also have archive editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U story, which are yours truly conveying insights and information in hopefully an entertaining way in various media other than this one. And it's all different information. So you go three different media. You have print, audio, and video. All there. There's also, I have classes there. Very deep Hasidic concepts, which are explained hopefully in a lucid manner, such that people can just casually listen and understand, get something out of it. And the very important donations page. Thank you. We seem to be doing very good. We paid off October, but there's always November. So we need you to keep coming in with the support. Thank God, there are people who give every single month. I send them a letter if they didn't send me, is everything okay? So there are those people. But then, out of the blue, like every couple of days, I'll get something from somebody I've never heard of before. Gives a couple of bucks. It's okay. It doesn't have to be $100,000. RabbiFinman.com. Donations. Pick a number. Click on a number. It's safe, secure. PayPal. Don't like using internet? Fine. No problem. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. We have a quick story for you. There was a person that I knew. He was one of the caretakers of the Lubavitcher Shul, the Lubavitcher Synagogue in Brooklyn, known as 770. His name was Asher Shathunkin. He had been incarcerated in Siberia for 20 years. So I think it was the first year that he was there. So he resolved that he's not going to work on Shabbos. And whatever came, he did not work. For 20 years, he did not work on Saturday. And he even kept Yom Tov. He kept the holidays. So there's a story of him. It's a long story. I'm going to go into the whole deal, just the part relevant to us. This has got to do with Simchas Torah, which was we celebrated on Friday past. He wanted to really be part of the Simchas Torah celebration, which involved dancing. But here he was. He's like a lone Jew in a camp of 2,000 non-Jewish Russians, peasants, thieves, political activists, political prisoners. So there's a whole story how he got separated from the group, and he was sort of like he miraculously wasn't punished, and someone was told, keep an eye on this guy. Don't let him get lost. So they were bored, so they say to him, hey, Jew, do you know how to dance? Can you sing us a song? We hear that Jews know how to sing songs. Maybe sing us a nice, happy song. So he thought to himself, it's Simchas Torah, this is great. So he started singing. And he got so involved, he's just so taken away with this song that he was singing, that he saw himself not in the gulag, but in a synagogue with a throng and mass of people. And he started to dance. And he danced, until he was exhausted. And they said, bravo, yay, So when they got back to the barracks, it was still at night. So they said, hey, this Jew knows how to sing and dance. So they said, okay, show us. So he started singing again. And again, he threw himself into not a prison camp with 2,000 non-Jews, but a synagogue filled with a throng and mass of Jews dancing, celebrating Simchas Torah. And he danced. And he danced for a long time, like for an hour, singing and dancing. And they thought, all the people there thought, oh, this Jew is entertaining us. It's very, very, and they were clapping with them, and maybe they caught on to the song that he was singing, and they got into it also. And it's just, he wasn't singing for them. He was singing to celebrate the holiday. That's going to do it for the show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope we had a chance to have a good week this week. There's no holidays. No holidays. What to talk about until Sukkot, until Hanukkah, which is December, way in the end of December already. We hope to see you again back again next week. Take care.